We're going to take public comment for 5 minutes. So if you'd like to get stand in the line, we've got 5 minutes, so...
Easier people to line up where the mic is. It's over there.
Yeah. It's over, well...
There's not much room to line up over
there. There's no room over there.
There's a lot of room.
Easier to move the mic into 6 feet. Looks like a big aisle for me. Must be angle of vision.
Hi, this is Bernie Eisenberg. I'm going to scrape a little bit on this issue of factionalism right now and what Steve said about his judging that he didn't feel that a meeting was warranted for some reason or other. I was at that meeting along with a bunch of other observers, and there were about 12 or 13 people who did show up at that meeting that Steve judged to be unwarranted. But because there was no quorum, because the faction that Steve belongs to decided that this was not a meeting that they wanted to sit in order to see somebody that they didn't like, so they decided to just boycott. This is just like what is going on in our Congress, the boycott of proper procedure. So I would heartily endorse Brenda.
She can be removed from this point. Please, if you'd like to speak, please stand in the line.
I would like to remember that in my over 30 years I've been associated with Pacifica and I've seen the continuous, contentious, divisive games played at the local section board and before the board that preceded it. Brenda Medina has been an inspiration for me because she has the wisdom, despite her age. I'm talking about someone that's twice her age now. Despite her age, she gives us an inspiration. It's a good example of the kind of balanced judgment that we ought to have if we want to bring people together and get the job done in Pacifica. Please support her.
Once again, different office, same line. We need people who are going to do something to overcome the idiotic waste of time and dysfunctionality of this board, which does that even today. These are both fine people. I know them both, and I like them both. I mean that. But we need to deal more than with bylaws and with Robert's rules. These people who understand body language, facial expressions, insults, in short, human relationships need to be improved, and factionalism needs to be done away with by mediation and outside intervention, which I think is necessary. Not that we aren't all smart and intelligent, but we haven't got the ability so far to resolve our differences, make good use of our time, and forward KPFK, which we need to do. So that's what I urge these two people, whichever wins, to work with them, Mr. Chair, to do something about this, and it's doable, and there's help available.
Good afternoon. I'm Dr. Halley. Many of you know me. I've been involved with the station for about 40 years. Well, listener for 40 years and almost that long been involved with the station. Many of us have been very concerned about problems with the station and the system, such things as dwindling listenership, disenfranchisement of the listener stakeholders, lack of transparency and accountability, and lack of innovation toward massively expanding our listener base. Make a suggestion, for example, train and bus ads and billboard ads. In light of this, I found a piece in this certain website called current.org to be a real eye-opener. According to this piece, this recent piece, the CPB, from which we get quite a bit of money every year,
Corporation for Public Broadcasting,
has decided to withhold financial support because of problems with accounting and operations based on their 2012 audit. More specifically, more specifically, this is related to insufficient accounting practices misreported revenues, and failure to comply with CPB rules on open meetings and financial transparency. Very concerning.
Thank you. Lydia would like to say something.
Wait, we're not right now. The public comment is through. Okay. Okay, so the only thing I wanted to say is in defense of Steve Brooks, who I totally respect, by the way, and I don't appreciate disparaging comments about fellow members, by the way. But the other issue is that it the missing of quorums and so forth really impressed on me what I haven't done, which means those of us that were around when these bylaws were formed, when we were involved in the lawsuits that explain why we are having a delegates assembly meeting and not just an LSC meeting where we also elect, you know, everybody, why do we adjourn, blah, blah, blah. And new members are totally not aware of that background. So at the beginning of the delegates meeting, Terry and I will provide some of that background. So, you know, let's not be too quick to cast dispersions on people, because a lot of people simply are not as immersed in the bylaws and have not experienced why these things have come about, what these rules are, and so forth. And I fault myself because I'm one of the senior members here on so many levels. But anyway, but thank you. I just wanted to say.
John, and then John.
The one in the green, the gray hair.
Yeah, just a quick comment about people missing members, missing meetings. Let's just be fair here. Passions run high on this board. People all want to win. Sometimes the rules force you to do things. We've all seen it in professional sports, professional basketball. You know, they take a foul, they foul somebody because they don't want to score 2 points. And they'd rather have a guy shoot a free throw. It's just part of the game. It's part of playing to win. Both sides do quorum attacks. Both sides have done it forever, as long as I can remember. Since back to, all the way back from the first LSB, which is where my institutional memory starts. I do not have memory of the LAB, which preceded it. Quorum attacks are just a part of how boards do business to win. And so I don't think it's reasonable to single out people for this, because we have a long history of this. And so let's just be fair and keep that in mind. You're fair for one side and fair for the other side.
We only have 35 minutes left to finish this entire meeting, so can we move on to the election?
We'll move to the election. We only have 35 minutes.
I would just say that having served on the PMB, I was very disappointed in the lack of objectivity that Brenda showed. And if you were able to attend any of those meetings, you would see factionalism at its worst. And so I would advocate voting for someone who I know to be more objective, which is Steve.
Thank you. We're going to move the agenda forward.
I was on a stack.
We are at time.
I was going
we're after grad time on this, so we're going to move.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry. It feels inappropriate to me. We had our two people speaking in favor of each candidate, and three people have chosen to speak from this board, and one decided to put a candidate's name in there and make it a plug for another candidate. We've completed that part of our agenda. I'd like to move forward.
I was on the stack. I was on the stack, Ted.
We are moving back to the agenda because we are off the agenda. We're going to distribute the ballot. If we can give you instructions. Let's keep it going. Oh, color instructions. Thank you, Terry.
Once again, you have two people nominated for a single seat. I will die before I see the second-ranked candidate on these ballots be counted. So you may simply put a single name in.
Nobody wants to kill you here, Terry. So.
I'm going to go into the secretary. Also in that 35 minutes is included a 10-minute recess. So if anybody wants to speak about, I don't know, if you wanted to continue to work through that recess and have the recess between the meetings, I'd like to entertain that idea.
I'd like to make a motion to not have the recess and work through.
Second.
Yes. Are there any objections? The motion is to work through our recess, and we have a time certain at 3:30.
Yeah. Recess was my favorite subject, but I didn't
That was seconded by... Who seconded that?
I did.
Last
Counting ballot. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, as before. Reading the first place ranking is the election for vice chair. Steve, Brenda, Steve, Brenda, Steve, Brenda.
Counting the votes for Brenda Medina.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12. Counting the votes for Steve Brooks. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
12 to 8, Brenda is elected vice chair.
Congratulations to Brenda Medina.
We move on to our next item on the agenda, treasurer nomination.
Steve? I'd like to nominate Kim Coffin.
Oh, no. Lauren?
I'd like to nominate Michael Milburn.
Second.
Are there any other nominations for treasurer? Michael Novick was nominated and Kim Coffin was nominated. Any other nominations?
No.
Okay. Candidates, please make a 2-minute statement. We'll start with Ms. Coffin.
Well, with the incumbency first.
Well, I have served the U.S. Treasurer. Have not accomplished what I tried to set out to do, which was to initiate a process of strategic budgeting that engaged the listeners, the staff, the management, and the governance in thinking ahead to what kind of station we want to have, what amount of funds we needed to carry out that mission, and how to raise those funds. I made some efforts at that. We did have a brainstorming session with management, staff, and governance that had some ideas, and we've seen some positive changes. I would like to sort of going ahead with the understanding that I'm going to try harder to put that strategic planning process into effect. I think that the station is not out of the woods financially, and certainly the network is not, and that we need to think on both the national and local level about how to rebuild and extend our audience by meeting community needs and by attracting listeners to see Pacifica as a way to solve urgent social, political, environmental issues and problems that if the station better serves those needs, would be able to tap the financial support it needs to carry out its mission.
Here, here.
So I did introduce a number of resolutions that kind of went by the boards, and I intend to bring them back up, and whether I'm elected chair or not, to pursue that process of a strategic budget plan. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, well, I've served as treasurer twice before, and I've been the chair of the Finance Committee for 3 years, and all the things that Mr. Novick claims he wants to do are not actually the job of the treasurer. The job of the treasurer is to monitor our expenses and our revenue, and that has never been done this last year except by the Finance Committee. We have gotten no written reports from the treasurer this whole year, and he doesn't seem to understand really how much more the expenses are than our revenue, which is our most critical issue right now, to curb the expenses. And the budget passed this year was inadequate and missing missing data, and we're going to have a problem going forward this year with those expenses. So in the name of fiscal responsibility, I think that I was a good treasurer, and I'd like to do it again. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take two speakers for each candidate. We'll go to Beth and then Lauren. Are you speaking?
Oh. I don't have to go first, but I just
want
to be on the
stack. Okay, you can go first. You're speaking.
Yeah, I'll speak on behalf of Michael Novick. As a person that's been an officer on this board, can you dial me up just a smidgen, second from left? As a person that's been on this board as an officer, with both of these folks, Kim and Michael, and had a chance to work hand-in-hand with them and observe them in the position of treasurer, it's important to note that one candidate spent their time just now, their 60 seconds, targeting the other. The other talked about what they're going to do. I found Michael highly functional. He's a notable community leader. Many of you know him from outside KPFK. And he's got a strong eye for fiduciary accountability. This has been a very rough year for KPFK, especially with Pacifica, basically a shambles, the station really on edge. It's been very challenging to be a treasurer, and I have strong faith that he is the person that's going to lead us into fiscal accountability. So I urge you to vote for Michael.
Well, I know Michael very well, and his principles are impeccable. I mean, I wouldn't even want to say anything, because I think everything that needed to be said, Michael said it, in terms of goals, in terms of planning, in terms of engaging the community and the listeners. The Finance Committee has not filed a single written report. So I don't know what the schizophrenia is about, but that's the bottom line. There has been no written report.
There's been kicking of the can down the road. There's been opinions from the Finance Committee, but there has been no financial reporting from the Finance Committee. The Treasurer, on the other hand, has come here, has been trying to motivate things, and for some reason, Finance Committee has stood in his way. And I know that won't happen this year.
I will take two speakers in favor of Ms. Cousin, Steve.
I just want to say, having been on the Finance Committee, Kim Kaufman provides this organization an indispensable function in terms of asking for accountability, fighting fiercely for it. That may turn some people off, but she's passionate about something, she fights fiercely. And I think we all know that we need to fight for accountability and financial responsibility at this point in time, and she fights very hard for it. I don't know if anyone else that I've been in contact with that is on top of both the national issues and the local issues financially. The only person I know of is Kim Kaufman. So that's the basis of why I think that accountability is one of our most significant functions, particularly from the treasurer. And there's nobody more qualified. I don't think anyone comes close, actually, in a day-to-day interaction on the financial issues in this organization other than Kim Kaufman. I certainly give credit to Michael as well, but Kim is the fierce fighter. I've seen her doing it. She has a handle on the specifics of all the expenses. I've done it with her. So I heartily endorse her.
Is there a second speaker for this topic? Staff Reiter?
I'm also a former treasurer. I've also been on the National Finance Committee. I've been a long-time observer of the board from the very inception, from the time it started as an LSB. That's when my institutional memory began. So one LAB meeting that I saw. The crucial issue is that the whole network is in financial trouble. And what we have and have had for, I guess it's more than 10 years now, is that we're kept in the dark. We have not been hearing how bad it was at WBAI. And we have not been hearing how bad it was at WPFW. And when I was treasurer, I was talking about that. We hear from management a pretty rosy report of how the revenues are and the expenses are. Kim has reported, and I have the emails to prove it, that I don't remember that, it's $200,000 the year before and $160,000 shortage this year, that revenues were exceeded by expenses. KPFK has, over the last 2 years, has gone down $320,000. We do not have a lot of money. Numbers can be reported to give a good impression and without lying. They say in statistics, people lie in statistics, are grand liars, as a phrase that except. Kim does bring to the board the reality of our finances. And the fact is, we're on the edge of disaster. Stations, we're continually shipping our money to National to pay the salaries, the payrolls of other stations.
No,
we've had to do it here too, I believe.
No,
and it's just, it's just.
Thank you. Go ahead.
It goes to National. It does go to National. I can cite the information.
Anybody else? You're right. You're at time.
The point is, Kim brings the reality.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We'll take public comments now. 5 minutes. Over here.
Hello, Lance Charles, a longtime listener and watcher, whatever. Without transparency, without knowing where we are financially, it's absolutely like walking in the blind. know, blinding the blind. I'm appalled, honestly, that we're so far with that. As a listener, I had no idea until I got here. And I know that we've had trouble, and we're always scraping by. I know that we can do a lot better, but we've got to start with the metrics that show us where we need to improve. Without that, again, it's just we can't move forward. So I know that both of these folks are really passionate about this radio station. I know you all are. I mean, I'm here because I love you guys. I feel like, you know, I'm part of this family, and I want to
be back,
announce that up, you know? The point is, you've got to get open with this thing. But, you know, the problem facing the global markets is secrecy and corruption. All of our money is hidden in these offshore banks, as you know. The movement is called EITI, and it's a transparency movement that's going around the world that we should be reporting on and following. And what it is showing basically where Exxon is getting all their money, where it's going, how it's being spent back in the country.
Thank you,
Mark. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark.
I'm Dennis Allard. I've been listening to Eva Perfumer, L.A. Pacifica, since the early 70s. I've been to meetings like this in years past. This is the first one I've been to in a while, though. In the presence of Dr. Haley, I'm not going to speak on the either candidate, who I'm not personally familiar with, as I am with not familiar with any of the board members, but I will make some points in principle to the tune of transparency. If you have the email addresses of all subscribers, I would like to see communication to the subscribers at least annually, if not more, both in the form of transparent revenue and income and expense statements, and polls, a poll of which programs they prefer. I happen to be a Yuppie, and I give quite a bit of money to the station, but I can't pick which I give money to. I would like to support the station in general. And finally, another transparency, if someone like Gary Null is being paid $69,000 for one fund drive, as he was at WDA, according to the document, when he and Matt just referred to KTSK. I want to know that. And if I'm in a community of people who believe that WTC was bombed by aliens, okay.
Thank you. Right.
But I may choose to not listen to the station or support it.
Thank you. I'll admit that Kim Coffin is actually a very good record keeper and followed her notes very carefully. I put my support for Michael Novak. One reason is just because when he spoke, he admitted his failings. He admitted stuff that he was not able to do. We need that open and honesty. So keeping a track of the finances of Pacifica or KPFK is a very holistic thing. It doesn't involve one thing. What about the fund drives? Again, as it's been alluded earlier, all that money for the savings from these funds, buying stuff for fund drives, and using all the expenses for that. Also, we should not be going to meetings in big non-union hotels. You know, again, all this stuff is interconnected. Thank you.
Thank you, Bella DeSoto here. On Monday, once again, the address to the listener, right, Mr. Bernard Duncan? So therefore, I urge everybody here to tell all your friends to flood the telephone lines. And let me tell you what you're going to say. You're going to say it this way. I want Ian Masters out yesterday. Let's go back to Treasury. I've been a bookkeeper for many years, professional at that. I am appalled at the condition to date of the station KPFK, but not just the station, the network as a whole. And I agree with John that we have been lied to, we are kept in the dark, and this has been going on as a ritual. And as soon as Michael Novak did come in on the scene, I urged him to please push for a balance sheet. Some people have no clue what that is, but that is the essence of a financial statement. You have a balance sheet and a P&L, and it's time that we demand these documents. And I want Ian Masters out immediately.
Thank you.
It is no secret for those who care to ask the right questions to know that the five radio stations owned by the Pacifica Foundation Radio have a centralized budget and centralize the money, and they keep the money and they decide what to do with the money regardless of how much money is raised at KPFK or elsewhere. these, the problems that we face now, this hasn't developed over last week, over the last 2 months. This has been building for several years. And those who have been in charge of the last 8, 10 years knew damn well what was going on and they didn't tell us. I know that Michael Novick can get the right answers and help us understand by bringing the transparency and bringing the answer to our questions. Please do vote for him.
We are at time for public comment. Also, in the meantime, I would like to ask the board if on the agenda, if we can... Oh, actually, we have one more question.
Yeah, I want to...
I think Secretary will go quick.
Although we should point out that it's every day for that being a member of the board.
Michael, Kim, reading the first-ranked votes for counting for Michael Novick. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Counting the votes for Kim Kaufman. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 13-7, Michael Novick is treasurer.
Congratulations to Michael, and I have made written reports, Lauren. Check your email.
Through the chair.
Please make your comments through the chair, not directly to another member moving forward.
Yeah, and I missed
when I was running around making copies, I missed the introduction to the alternates. I wanted to point out and thank those people who are the rest of the alternate pool who came today, and for you to note that seven, I think, of the members, so almost a third of the board, were alternates. It's been a long time. We didn't make quorum. One election, this election, was canceled, postponed, depending on which side of the aisle you're on. And so, therefore, a lot of people are tired or did not plan to stay on this long. And so I urge you to continue to attend the meeting. So if you are called on to fill a vacancy, that you are current on all of the issues. And thank you so much for making yourself available today. Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to answer to gentlemen who came forward to say to us, you, yeah, to us for their communication. So personally, I've been asking for that for years. Like, this board is supposed to represent you, but we don't give you the information that you need. Mm-hmm. We keep it from us. And the same thing happens to the staff of the board. Some of us represent the staff of KPFK. We are not even able to send in an email with every meeting minute that as it should be, because you elected all of us right here, right? And we don't respond to you. That's something that I've been raising, you know, all the time.
Thank you. I do want to move on because we are almost at time, and that we do also need to make one more public comment. I want to be able to try to squeeze that in there.
Secretary down there.
We're opening the nominations for secretary. Nominations are not limited to board members. And members of the public can also run for secretary.
I'm nominating John Garrett.
Second.
Are there any other nominations? You can be a member of the public.
Would any member of the public like to do this? Would you like to do it, Doug?
We go through the chair.
Are there any other nominations for secretary?
One of the most difficult jobs is what John does, and John has done it remarkably well. I mean, these are not easy.
By acclamation, we have elected Don Gary, our secretary for 2013. Okay. As chair, I would like to entertain the idea to move directly to the general manager's report, so we can also have time for public comment on that before we have a time certain.
Second.
7 minutes.
Is there any objection?
Thank you. The report was distributed to board members yesterday. Richard, I'm sorry you weren't a board member then, but we'll get one to you at some stage. We are currently in the final hours of our December fund drive. I put a target on this fund drive of $450,000. I just checked, we just tipped over $452,000. Just on to the volunteer interns, we've managed to renew a partnership we had with Academia Avant High School in Highland Park. We had a couple of interns from this high school last year who proved to be amazingly bright young people who helped us out in many, many ways and managed to learn a lot about broadcasting in the process. We've got two new young people who came in for the first time a couple of weeks ago, and these two as well are very sharp, dedicated young people. And we are working through a website that actually helps us to find volunteers out in the community and actually updates us on when they are available to us. Programming, some of our regular programming will be off the air for the next couple of weeks. because of Christmas and New Year and the holiday break. Some of the programmers are taking that break. And so we've got some new and interesting stuff that's coming along through the pipe as well. We have been piloting new shows on the air. One of the most recent ones was a show called Focus on Food, which looked at organic farming and the preparation of food in healthy and holistic ways. And that one has been greenlit now to have its own slot moving forward. There is another one too that there are a bunch of other pilot projects in the works, but one of the most exciting for us too is being put together by a group of young people who were involved heavily in the Occupy LA movement, and it's called On Resistance. So look out for a pilot and our first series of that very soon. And the only other thing that I wanted to mention is that there, in my view, there is a significant opportunity for us in that K-Talk has just switched from what it was doing to particularly right-wing radical stuff, including the likes of Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh. And so I think there's a real opening for us there to take advantage of an extremely disenfranchised audience that we can attract if we play our cards right. In terms of our operations, we had I'm afraid, a major sewage line back up a couple of weeks ago. We had the pipe that is carrying our waste to the main line is as old as our building, which was built in 1969. It's a clay pipe, and some of the trees in the parking lot are growing roots into it. So there is, we've done a fix for the next few months, but it looks very likely. In fact, it looks like it's definite that we'll have to replace that pipe in the near future. So there'll be a cost there that we hadn't anticipated. But what we have managed to do is save some money on the average of our photocopying machines for archives and for us in both our business office and our general office. That'll be saving us about $2,000 a year in our lease. So that was a negotiation where we started to go back to the suppliers who had been dealing with us for a number of years when our lease ran out. And we got to a bit of a bidding war between two companies that's paid off for us in that respect. We started, as I've reported at this meeting a few times, we started a test campaign to see if we could up our car donation program, whereby people donate cars to us and they get sold, and we get, at this stage, 85% of the net once our car donation company has taken its cost. So we started to use social media to promote that back in September for a three-month period, and that's actually worked really well for us. The website that was set up to do that has been visited more than our website. That part of our website gets visited, and of course it's just a link from our website anyway, so it looks like it's our website, but it's just the car donation button. And what we can report is that for the month of November, our vehicle donations are at 14, and that's from the 1st through the 30th. We would probably be likely to get maybe 10 or 11, and so far in December, from the 1st through the 15th, we have 14 for that month as well. So things are looking up in that respect. We are holding another e-waste recycling event in January. Not too much you'll hear about it on the air. And we have also been working with an organization called the California Teleconnect Fund. And this is an organization that helps not-for-profits reduce its telecommunications bills. And we went through the process of seeing if we were eligible for one of their programs. We found out on Thursday afternoon that we are, and this has the potential to save us as much as $50,000 a year, depending on how it works. So we will push ahead with that one as well. And I just mentioned at the end of that part of operations our Facebook and Twitter likes. I report on this every month. Facebook total likes at the moment, close to 14,500. And total followers on Twitter around 2,700. We're kind of new in this part of social media, so that will grow as things go forward. Just briefly reporting that studios are in not bad condition at the moment. We have continuing ongoing issues with the age of our equipment, and so our engineering people are constantly in repair mode, but things are operating well at the moment. The Malibu booster site, we have to cover the Pacific Coast Highway. We're having some issues with a license for that to continue because another radio station has complained that our signal there, actually not our 90.7 signal, but the signal that is used to send our signal from a receiver antenna to a transmit antenna is close to another frequency, and we're getting complaints of interference, so we need to work on a fix for that. The Rancho Bernardo translator site is working, Santa Barbara translator site is working, and the Nortels on Mount Wilson servicing the great community are also transmitting at full power at the moment. And I've just summarized the business office details. We have about $117,000 in the bank, total outstanding payables just under $70,000, simple services fees we owe for January and December $30,000, and we have yet to receive, as I report every month, the second tranche of our Corporation for Public Broadcasting money that I think Dr. Halley mentioned, that it was reported that we're actually being closely monitored by them. So we usually get it in two gifts. It's around 120 at the beginning of the year. It's around 70 at the end of the year. We usually get that end of year one by July. We still haven't seen it. So that will enable us to have some breathing space in the budget, but we haven't seen it yet. So we just keep on working towards that.
Our time has expired, but if the body would like to extend, we would need a two-thirds vote to extend it.
So we can get 5 minutes for public comment. I move.
5 minutes for comment.
Ten minutes, including questions from
the board. 10 minutes.
Let's go.
Is there a second to the motion to extend for 10 minutes?
Second.
Are there any objections to extending for 10 minutes?
All right.
I have done. Okay, we will take a vote. If you are in favor of extending for 10 minutes, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. 15 yes. Objection? 1. Abstention? 1. Motion carries. We'll stand for 10 minutes. So we'll move to, we've got hands up for questions. We have 5 minutes, so we can have our 5 minutes with our public comments. Rodrigo, Chubb, Lawrence, thank you.
No, we only have 5 minutes. I have my hand up. Okay, you look good.
Yes, I would have a time go there.
Okay, then let's make it 30 seconds.
Rodrigo has the mic as address, Rodrigo. Thank you.
How much?
No cost out of turn.
Free of information. How much time does each person have so we can all speak within 5 minutes?
5 minutes. 45 seconds. 30 seconds.
Yeah, first question is, have you read the last motion that we provided you? And I want a response in that sense. And secondly, it's since our mission is to stay, you know, to engage in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors, what have you done about it? You
know?
It seems we're all very comfortable ignoring the INS's problem. I don't know why everyone's so quiet about that. Here's a man we're paying high money to be on the air, and he's disparaging our ground rules, our bylaws, and the members of the board and the community. So I heard just a rumor that he was suspended for 2 days. That's like a slap on his dirty wrist.
Time. Lauren?
Yeah, just one simple question, Bernard. In regards to that $69,000 that's still outstanding, does that relate to what one of the listeners commented on a little earlier about the State Pacific website? That's completely a violation of bylaws.
$59,000
that the listener referred to earlier in his comment.
Kim?
The premium, you spent like 50% of your premium budget on the October drive, and you've approved more expensive premiums for this drive. What do you intend to do? This problem has not been solved. It created a huge deficit last year, and you're making the same decisions again this year to run very expensive premiums, which we don't need. Well, I thought we agreed that you were going to, like, you told us over and over that you weren't going to do this. You said you've added board up. You've added board up and not eliminated one FTE.
My question is, so what is the status of that money that are in
the Mike, check.
Just the question is,
so what is the status of Malibu? Is it up, down, or is it up while it's being fixed or adjusted or whatever? What's happening there?
Never been more.
Judge?
Kaufman, Steve.
I'm talking to Steve.
Thank you for starting my time now. With as many barbs come at whoever's in office in this station in particular, I work in Hollywood, and there's so many dysfunctional people, and it's amazing that anything gets done, but the Pacifica family is far harder to function in. I think one of our capacities as a board, not only to keep our management in check, but also support them, and I think that the good things that, Bernard, you've done, I'm very grateful for, because despite the problems we have, you've kept the ship on course. Thank you.
Well, if it's okay, we'll take public comment often. You can answer all of them. Because we do have a long line in public comment, if we can, 30 seconds?
We finish over here every day.
Okay, we did.
Good.
And then we'll have 2 minutes for the comment.
So,
In all the fun, right, you said that we're doing good. Please, we learned that you work with Michael now, that he's a financial chairman. What the plan to clarify in the first month of the year, not to last for another year, to clarify where the money is going. We need to know that thing, definitely. And another thing, it's very clear for anybody who have a little bit of politics, you know, that one of the things that system wants to keep the fighting out of over there from other places, analyze the problem that happened somewhere else, you know, so don't have the problems over here. That's what the E-Master exactly do.
Thank you.
They burn their attention.
Thank you. We do have a long stack, 30 seconds.
So please adhere to the 30 seconds. The time you go over is less time for the next person.
Okay, Christmas present time. Angel and the Batman. It's finally been released to public domain. It's John Wayne's first movie that he produced. It's probably the first one he directed, and the director was the first time who was also the writer. And if you want to know what I'm about as a Quaker, watch Angel and a Bad Man.
Look, really, my concern is not in Master for State, but the management is convincing people like Dr. Jerry, WPFW, JR, KPFA, I'll continue here, and I can go on the whole list. One incident they're thrown off the air. Ian Masters had 5 years of incidents, but he's not thrown off the air. I think that's consistency across the board. I'm not anti-Ian Masters, but the management, they give him the green light to continue week after week, even with senior management, intern program directors in the studio, running this while they're on, and he gets away with it. Can we have consistency? Because everybody I mentioned is thrown off after one incident for people of color.
Thank you.
So again, I urge everybody here to flood the lines. Because the lies by Bernard Duncan and Dave Johnson of the CAB committee is that people, when they come to the CAB meeting, they do not complain about Ian Masters. That was the lie that you gave last month. Guess what? It was on Saturday, the meeting. I was not able to go. I had a conflict, sadly. I'm the former chair that you removed without just cause.
Time.
Why? Because I tell the truth. Ian Masters must be removed.
I'd just like to make a general comment quickly about possibly refocusing towards the mission statement of Pacifica. It's my opinion, and I'm sure of the opinion of a lot of people in this room, that we have a very short time frame to turn not just this nation, but the world around, if we're going to save, you know, life on this planet for the human species and a whole lot of others. So if we can't get together with all of the, you know, different things that we have going on here, we have to understand that we have bigger fish to fry.
We have time for two more speakers.
I stay sane because it's morning KPFK programming, also the 4 p.m. Socialist Party. Also, I've heard Richard Wolf will be on regularly, which is great. I support Ian Masters completely. He brought up some points that should be known to everyone. And if not,
I don't care. Please don't interrupt.
I'm a socialist. I support
Ian Masters. Go ahead.
I support Ian Masters. Everyone I live
with. You're not a socialist.
excuse me, Bella.
Please, that's my time. Thank you.
Don't lie.
Bella, you're set.
Yeah, Bella,
you
don't even know me.
Thank you. Bella, we're going to ask you to leave.
Why are you talking to me?
Ladies, shut up. Whoever it was
then.
Shut up. Okay. I'm supporting his master. And since he remains the types of information he brought out, we should not have to have him in the vehicle to bring that information to us.
Here's one thing, real simple. We need business cards for anybody to call station gets 25 cards in an envelope, whatever 50-cent staff will get. And we send them out. And next to the S food and the S print, the checkout line, where even I don't install the young woman. Thank you.
Rodrigo, thank you. Yes, the promotion was passed in the meeting I just heard today. That's legitimate.
Can we please be quiet? Thank you.
But yes, I'm prioritizing those and working through them, and I'll be reporting to this body as and when each one is achieved. Thank you. Focusing back on the mission, I think we try to do that pretty much on a regular basis right across the board. And I think we actually don't do a terribly bad job at that. But yes, you're right, there's always room for improvement, and there's always room for us to review and reflect on that, and exactly the part of it that you mentioned to us. Ian Masters was suspended, as I said, and this will also relate to Didon's assertion about that. Ian is a paid staff member covered by the SAG-AFTRA collective bargaining agreement. As part of that agreement, there is a progressive discipline that has to be followed. So what happens in that situation is that warnings are given, then a probation period is served, and if the transgression continues, a suspension follows. And that's exactly what happened this time.
For how long?
He's been doing that
Thank you, Bella. The general manager has the floor. Thank you.
Lawrence, the 69,000 had nothing to do with that website. There's no correlation between those two things whatsoever. The premium, yes, Tim's absolutely right. We need to bring down the cost of premiums, and we're working to do that. This December drive, we had far fewer premiums of a higher rate value than we have had in the past, and so we're working to keep it that way. We try to have a 10-to-1 ratio. If a premium costs us a certain amount of money, we expect to make the pledge about 10 times that. In recent fund drives, we haven't been able to contain that as well because some of our suppliers, particularly of the big ticket premiums, are demanding higher ratios than that. So what I'm going to try and work to do is eliminate those premiums over time and get back to the ones that are of a far, far more sustainable value for us.
Thank you.
See, the Malibu translator is working, but it's at low power, so that frequency is not interfered with. What we're trying to do is find another place to seat our receive antenna so that it can point in a different direction to the transmit antenna. What that may mean is it's having the receive antenna on one peak and the transmit antenna on another peak, and to do that we have to get permission. Where we used to be when we first ran the translator was Federal Aviation Authority land, and a change in their hierarchy had them evicted, and we were paying a pittance there. But we were taken off Saddle Peak, and now we're moving to Oak Mountain, so hopefully that'll be repaired in the next few months.
We are at time, so we would like to wait. If
okay, I mean, there's not that much to respond to in terms, because a lot of the public comment was comment, not question. So 5 years of incidents, I talked about the union, the process that we need to follow. The process that follows, and I'm talking about the violation of policy, and right now, at a Pacifica level, a zero-tolerance policy to disparaging other programmers and the network has been imposed.
And the LSB.
I'm kind of as a proponent of free speech, I'm in two minds about that, but if it's policy, it's policy.
So what are you doing?
I know you went to the CAD meeting last week, Bella, but I was, and it was actually a very positive meeting. A lot of people said they liked the Ian Masters. I think it was pretty universal. A lot of people talked about programs they didn't like, but they did say they liked Ian, but they didn't like Ian bad-mouthing the station on the air, and that has been and is being dealt with. I think that's probably pretty much it, Jerry. I think your idea about those cards being out is a good idea.
Exactly.
But all you need to do is keep thinking about that. Thank you. Thanks very much, everybody.
We are at time. Thank you.
What is your question,
Dr. Winger?
My question is, in the last year, prior to Ian Masters' recent attack on governance on air, I spoke with you, Bernard, and gave you two specific complaints, and you said
that is the
question relative to the thing. This is point. And you said he said Ward. And so why didn't progressive discipline happen two times
board members come in, we complain about Ian Masters, she said he's been spoken to. That should mean that progressive discipline.
Dr. Wonder, you are out of order, and we are adjourning the meeting.
No, I'm absolutely on order. This is a question.
The meeting is adjourned.
It's not a question.
It's a point of information, which is not what you offered.
A point of information is always a question. It's in Robert's rules. It's by definition. It's a point of information means asking a question. And the question is, why the hell is it?
The question is, why the hell did progressive discipline happen when Bernard told me that he'd already spoken to Ian Masters?
Because he's a supporter. He was brought in to support him. To keep him there. We are now going to be convening our delegates meeting. The LSC meeting has been